The way Dan and I have been doing it is we don't start recording until we do a little countdown, and I haven't had to.
The way you and Dan do it is dumb.
The way you breathe is dumb.
Your head has the shell on it.
Your mom goes to college.
I love that line, so I have no retort.
Welcome to WTF at TFW, where we are plugged in and unplugged. This is episode 87, and with me today is Gog William Edwardson Dog.
I don't get it. What?
Saying your full William. Name.
Yeah, that's my name.
Esquire.
Friend me on Facebook.
Yes. Also with us today is Seth Christensen Buzzard.
Greetings.
How you doing?
Great.
Mark, change of tone. And also here with us, holding a candle with us for the dearly absent Druido, is none other than GamePad's Unplugged and TFW veteran admin stafferator, Dan William Excelsior Defuzz.
Hey, how's it going? Thanks for having me.
Who?
No problem.
He got the coolest name at all. It's Excelsior.
Excelsior.
I got like Edmonton. He got Excelsior.
That's because he's the guest. He gets the Excelsior.
You're too kind.
But Dan, I think we mentioned this before, but Dan was in fact involved with the doomed 2006 iteration of WTF at TFW.
Yeah, it's too bad. It was 2006 or 2007, I can't remember, but
yeah.
That was too bad. It was something I was really excited for and wanted to be a part of, and it just didn't work out, and you guys have had all the success without me, so I've been admiring from the sidelines.
But then,
do you feel embittered about the people that weren't involved with that, that are on the show?
No.
I would be.
Good answer.
I mean, yeah.
Well, two of them, two of the folks who were involved with the 2006 ones, went on to make GamePad's Unplugged the world's most successful video game podcast.
After only four episodes.
Yes.
And we're going to be
four episodes,
break,
and we're taking a break. Like the we're going to rest on our laurels for a while.
Season's over at the height of success.
Yeah.
Keep them waiting.
No, they're. I made mistakes and. There's an issue with our... we don't have a fancy guy giving us all the bandwidth and storage space we want. We have to, you know, shell money out. And I made some mistakes, and now we're paying the penalty.
Hmm.
Do those mistakes involve crack cocaine?
No, they involve not making the file sizes smaller and using up all of our allotted space.
Ooh.
And I was already going through withdrawals of recording, and we weren't even scheduled to record until tomorrow, but thank goodness you guys came to my rescue.
We're here to give you your shots, man.
Yay!
Like shots. And we're going to start off with a very quick shot of news. This is my Canadian bias coming in again. This is a bit of Canadian TFCon news. If you want to learn about TFCon, you should follow them on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube, because when they hit 1,000 subscribers somewhere, the TFCon guys are going to give away an AVO Swerve. And AVO Swerve is kind of hard to get. So that's an interesting little contest they're running. I think by subscribers they mean their YouTube account. It looks like they're posting stuff from their TFCon DVD releases they do each year. So TFCon's in July, and it's probably my favorite social convention of the Transformers conventions out there. So I would really recommend checking it out. Dan, you thinking of coming by TFCon?
I'd like to. I have to get one of them pesky passport things first. And my summer is kind of packed as it is, but I'm definitely going to try to make it out there this year. But that's still a little up in the air at present.
And
for reasons I cannot yet disclose.
For reasons that involve crack cocaine?
Shh.
This isn't Aaron. Aaron's not here this week.
It's true, but, you know, it spreads. You know, one guy's doing it, then his friends are doing it, co-workers.
I'm from the Midwest, too, so it's more like meth out here.
Yeah. Meth spliced
with pot. That's what's big in my area.
And cough syrup, somehow.
Yeah, I need to show a license to buy NyQuil at Target, so... Meth is a problem.
Gog, do you use NyQuil, and are you thinking of coming out to TFCon? And will you enter this contest for a swerve?
Well, technically, I'm already involved in the contest, seeing as our very own Super_Megatron used one of my photos for the contest picture without even asking me. I would have said yes. I would have said yes, for the record.
Oh, I didn't recognize the background. Just nice. I'm so used to your blue background. I was like...
But
didn't occur to
it
me.
Took advantage of me. Like, if I say anything, he'll just, like, fire me from staff. So
bench
I can't.
Over.
But bench I have a feeling he's not listening to this, so...
And Seth, or did you have more you wanted to add about TFCon?
Nope.
Oh, Seth, are you going to TFCon or entering this contest?
No, I have a swerve.
Oh,
I stole one from Canada.
Oh yeah,
it was an inside job. I got a guy.
That was so long ago, but it wasn't.
He left the back window unlocked, and I snuck into Canada and took one. Yeah, I'm interested in going to TFCon someday. I was considering going this year, but then when BotCon was at Disney World, I was like, hey, then TFCon's not at Disney World.
It's true.
But, you know, maybe someday. I'm kind of thinking of going to PAX next year.
PAX is fun.
I can only afford one big convention. So I got to decide.
PAX is in Seattle, and it's not that expensive a convention. I think it's like, what? What's the pre-reg on PAX? Was it $80 or something?
It was $50 for PAX East. I assume it's the same for PAX Prime, as they're calling it now.
I think they would probably charge more for real PAX.
Real PAX wasn't that expensive, because I went to it last year, and I remember that the pre-reg was like, it had to be under $100, and it got you into everything, and it's like, there's more than one person can do at PAX, and doing three things at PAX basically makes you feel like you got your money's worth, and you can do like 20 things.
That's a lot of things.
That's like 20 things. So I look forward to finding out who wins the swerve, and I would like to congratulate them now. So if you win the swerve, come back and listen to episode 87 of this podcast, and you'll have been thanked. Moving along, let's pick some new picks, and let's have our special guest, Dan, pick the first pick.
Well, I'm going to go a little old on this one, seeing as though this is my first show, and I'm just infatuated with this at the moment. It is the Animated Grandis, which is from our very own Radicon's Customs section, posted up by Primus X1. It's pretty incredible. It transforms. It looks pretty spot on for the animated show, and I wish I had one.
Me too. That Grandis, I think that's the one that Derek Wyatt was talking up on his Twitter back when it popped up. And I can't remember now. I know there was one guy who did a Grandis that put it up on eBay and it went for nuts.
This is the same one.
Yeah, it went for nuts on eBay. But it turned out pretty well.
Yeah,
I
love
it.
Are you a fan
of animated?
Oh, yeah.
Excellent.
Good.
We abide that.
And if I'm going new, if I'm going to go with a new one, just to add another one, I'm going to add the, well, it's actually kind of old, but it's the Cosmos from the Don Figueroa gallery.
Oh,
that we front-paged.
The pile of stuff you put up on DeviantArt.
Yes, that nice Cosmos by Donnie Figs, man. That thing is gorgeous.
I like his DeviantArt name. It rolls off the tongue nicely. Don Fig. I like the cup that he posted in there, too, with the crazy goggles.
Yeah, that was interesting. a few people commented on liking that one, too.
That guy's talented. He will hand-make his own toys, fully transformable.
Mm-hmm.
It's insane.
Now, Don has got chops, and I remember back when it was kind of revealed, it's like, hey, by the way, Don Figueroa is kind of doing art that is kind of related to the toys now. Like, I don't think anyone was surprised. It's like, if anyone was going to have moved up to that step, it would be Don. And He has. Yeah, I got to check out more of that DeviantArt gallery. I only looked at a couple pics so far. But I think there's also a bludgeon in there that's kind of indicative of what might have been the inspiration for the newer bludgeon toy that one of the Mima clan from Canada still does not like.
Yeah, that bludgeon's really nice. The picture that Don posted is really nice.
Yeah, the half moon on the helmet and stuff. Gog, have you got a picture you'd like to bring up?
I got two quick ones. The first is a certain piece of art I received from a certain artist.
Ooh.
By the name of Alex Milne.
Is this art I know?
Yep.
Ooh.
So I'm going to show it soon. I want to make sure everything's finished and ready first, but got some custom artwork of a certain female Transformer that goes by the name of Rosanna for a t-shirt that's going to be available come BotCon time. So, yeah, it's looking great. Alex is a fantastic artist, and he really knocked it out of the park. So I'm looking forward to everything working out. I mean, I've never made t-shirts before, so... Mm-hmm. I need to get all that stuff priced out. I'm not planning on making any profit. At the very least, I want to just recoup my costs from paying for the commission and, you know, just paying for the shirts themselves. So I'm not, but yeah, I'm not. It's not like a side job.
I'm kind of resisting commenting on the art only because I should probably wait till you've got it all sorted.
No, you can. No, feel free to comment on it. Yeah.
Okay, because there's something I really liked about it, which was that given that it's Rosanna. Alex did not over-feminize that design. Like that's what I liked about it is that it didn't look like, hey, look, it's Eject with breasts.
Like, yeah, like that's what I wanted.
He like added like I think like a lump on the chest, very slight one, but it didn't look like it was trying really hard to look like a female robot, and I kind of appreciated that.
Yeah, I liked how most of the feminism, I don't know if that's the... I guess you could use that, but...
femininity.
I guess most of the feminesque like cues that he put into it were mostly like the feet and the hands, and that was interesting. Like,
yeah.
Like the... so, yeah. I'm really happy with the way it turned out. And
I liked it for its subtlety. Yeah. It didn't try too hard, and that made it about 50 times better than if it had tried really too hard. Gone like, hey, pelvis and mammaries, check it out.
Yeah, robo mammaries. never mind. I'm not even. And the second one is just the little video we got of the robot mode and the jet mode for Ghost MP Starscream. Looks pretty cool.
You've got that on
how it turned out.
You've got that on pre-order, right?
I do. Yeah, I pre-ordered mine from TF Source a couple weeks ago. So, yeah. It should, I think, unless the dates change, and assuming that their dates are right on the website, it looks like it's going to come out, like, right around BotCon time, like, maybe right before, so, may get it before then.
Which
is good, because I'm going to be saving a lot of money for BotCon, and it's better if it comes during that time when I'm saving money than afterwards when I'm broke.
I only checked out the robot mode video, but I really liked how he looked under lights because it looked like he was really reflecting a lot of the luminescence within his clear plastic. It was quite tasty to the eyes. I think Gog exploded.
Yum.
Huh? I'm here.
Oh, okay.
No, you didn't hear me? I said it looks good. Can't wait.
Oh, no, yeah, I couldn't hear that. I was like, man, he was like... taken aback.
I fell out of my chair drooling in the fetal position in front of my desk.
Like, I've seen this video before, but I'm just going to click, aww.
Starscream and Rosanna in one topic was too much to handle.
And
I have self-control.
Seth, have you got any new picks that might be too much to handle?
No, because it's small.
Oh, okay.
But you might even say...
Don't be so hard on yourself, Seth.
No, but it's true. I'm hung like a light switch.
Hey, what?
Huh? The world's smallest shockwave. How about that guy?
Oh, dude.
That looks awesome.
Yes.
That looks like something I want to own.
Yeah. I like his pipe. He's got that little rubber pipe. Wire.
He's also got shockwave style. And that's a good style to have.
Yeah. That's something I'm going to try to pick up a buck on. For sure.
Yeah, I'm going to get one of these, too. They look cool.
I've actually played with that.
What?
What?
Yeah. Primus from the boards, he bought the Shockwave and the Blaster, and I've got a chance to kind of manhandle those two a little bit. And yeah, they're pretty cool.
Cool, yeah.
What?
What did it look good?
How big are they?
They're the world's smallest.
Well,
you know, actually, that reminds me. I checked out. Someone was talking about how there were this relates to the new pick I want to bring up. But someone was talking about how world's smallest was not the correct term, and I was like, really? So I went and looked it up, and apparently,
well, it's just a phrase. It's just a marketing gimmick.
If you take the title of that line and actually translate it, they are, quote, the smallest transforming Transformers. And apparently, if you want to be absolutely correct, that is what you should call them. And I read that, and I thought, you know, that, like, in just about every way does not roll off the tongue. So
yeah.
It's like they made it as difficult as possible.
Yeah, I was just asking because the Just at Toys did the Dinobots, but the Dinobots were quite a bit bigger than the actual official ones, so that's why I was asking what size they were. Are they more in tune with the Takara ones or the Just at Toys Dinobots?
They're definitely smaller than the Just at Toys ones.
Okay, all right.
There's a size comparison pick in at least the TF Source video that I watched, but Shockwave is like, if you put him next to Megatron, he looks like perfect next to Megatron. But I can't remember how big he was compared to the others in that video. There's some good stop motion in that video. I was surprised the guy was able to pull that off, given how tiny they are.
Yeah, the issue with Shockwave is when you're transforming him back and forth between gun and robot mode, his legs, just like as in the full version, they're supposed to pull apart and push back together, you know, to form the handle of the weapon, and they don't like to go. They don't like to push, mm-hmm. And I'm worried that it's such a small piece that I'm going to break it, and it's not mine, so I had that issue with it, but that was my only problem.
There are no problems with Shockwave, ever. The problem is you. Shockwave is flawless.
The problem is you and your giant mangle hands.
That's true.
Be gentle with your tiny Shockwave.
Oh, that reminds me. I still got to put together my custom... No, I still have that custom Reveltech.
Oh, holy crap, I forgot about that.
It's been over a year. And I was about to do it, and then I had to move, and it's still... I have everything. I got the paint, everything, but I just have to sand down the... plastic. I need to do that.
You should vlog the assembly.
I'm gonna try to start on that this weekend. I forgot about that.
I chuckled because Vangelis said your giant mangle hands, and then Gog said, "Oh, that reminds me." And then I thought of things that were rude and gross.
That's inappropriate.
I know. That's why I didn't say what it was. Like, oh, that reminds me.
Speaking of inappropriate, my new pick is the newly revealed Diablock, Bumblebee, and Optimus Prime.
That is inappropriate.
Now, here's one funny thing from the thread, and this actually doesn't really have to do with the toys themselves, but they were linked from an AmiAmi auction link. And there was a dude in the thread who went like, maybe we could pull AmiAmi out of there so we don't have another case of Transformers 2000. I think that's where the world's smallest thing came up from. And I was kind of like... I understand the sentiment, but that I thought that was kind of overreacting, because that would be like if someone put up a link from Big Bad Toy Store and then everyone started referring to it as like the Big Bad Toy Store Diablock toys. So I don't know. The anti misinformation stuff always makes me chuckle because I like misinformation and it's so trollable. But these guys, these Diablock toys, let me tell you, Optimus Prime is incredible. I don't know if you guys have all seen the pictures of them yet, but they're basically like Mega Block Lego robots who can turn into vehicles, and Optimus Prime turns into art. Like, he doesn't just turn into a vehicle. How did I replied in the thread. He's like, quote, he's like a combination of an airport control tower and a dude looking straight up. And it's so good, because if you look at it, he is literally, he just tilts his head back and he's staring at the sky. As, you know, he's got, like, eight wheels and is not a truck. I don't know what happened to Prime. I mean, Bumblebee, I thought, turned out okay, considering he's built out of building blocks. But Prime is nuts. And then Prime's face is crazy, too, because the face sticker, Bumblebee has a face sticker. Prime just has a sticker for his eyes, and his eyes are mad crazy looking. So he looks like just this, he looks like Prime locked into this horrific little body going like, let me out! And then when he transforms, he just like falls down. I don't know. I really love the way he looks, because it's like, it's one of those cases where it's such a disaster that it becomes something beautiful. And, I think it definitely trumps Built to Rule. Like, if we're going to say that Built to Rule set a bar, I think that these Diablocks have cleared that bar. It's not saying much, but it's saying something.
Yes.
Yeah, it was a limbo bar, and they're going over it instead of under.
That's right. Except, well, Prime's going over it, but he's still tilting his head back, because he's like, hey, guess what? I could go under it, but I'm better than that. I've got 8 wheels. Any of you guys going to pick up the Diablock Optimus Prime?
No. Next topic.
I just wanted to
I don't see myself buying that.
I was really worried when I saw the prices, because AmiAmi was like, yeah, and it's $40. And I was like, what? And then I found out that it was like $40 for a box of like 8 of them. I was like, oh, okay. I can see that. Moving on. And almost with perfect coincidence, before Dan was coming by to guest in on this podcast, I had put in the topic list War for Cybertron, because a whole bunch of behind-the-scenes videos and interviews popped up, many of which were based out of that that little thing that Seth went to that got its own supplemental, etc., etc. So there was just little bits and pieces of info that you could glean from these, bits of video and stuff. So I was curious what your guys' thoughts might be on more or less the War for Cybertron info on the whole that we have right now. So, Gog, what do you think about War for Cybertron as it stands?
It's the whole project as a whole has definitely turned out a lot better than I think that I was expecting it to. I still want to get some hands-on, obviously. I'm really happy, again, that they're releasing it for the PC. Because I'm not sure at this point when... I mean, every time I go to the store, I'm like, I can afford it. I should just get a console. And then I'm like, but I could spend it on something else. So just the fact that they're releasing it for the PC will mean that at the very least, I will be able to play it on day one. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's like the videos look good. I mean, there might be a few things that I could nitpick, like maybe some of the character animations. Maybe the walking in some scenes looks a little stiff, but I mean, overall, like, I think that's more of the cutscene type stuff. Like the actual gameplay stuff is looking really good. It's, I mean, the animation is fluid. Like some of the scenes where the camera kind of pans back, you see like all these giant shuttles like flying through the sky. I mean, it looks so good. Like it's definitely one of the coolest looking Transformer set pieces that I've seen. I am actually excited to see how this turns out. I plan on playing it, or getting it. And I'm just hoping that it lives up to the kind of hype that it's become. I think with Revenge of the Fallen, we were all just kind of like, well, as long as it's better than the first game, I think we'll be satisfied. But I think this game has started to almost set its own bar higher. Just itself. It's like the thing with Dr. Octopus in the second Spider-Man movie. It's just self-sustaining and getting bigger and bigger, regardless of what anybody else says. And it's going to, hopefully it lives up to that. So I have some pretty high hopes for how this turns out.
I'm in that position too. I mean, like I'm trying to keep myself set at like, I hope it's better than the Revenge of the Fallen game. And I'm really sure I'm going to get that feeling from it. And I know there are people who want more than that, but I'll be satisfied if it's better than Revenge of the Fallen. And so I think that I'm looking to be quite happy with how this turns out. I actually got way more jazzed about it when I was talking to Seth during that supplemental, when he was bringing up things like the little stuff, like plugging themselves into turrets and stuff like that, or the multi-modes for the wheeled vehicles that can go all hover style and stuff like that. Seth! Anything new out of this stuff that I actually wanted to bring up? I watched Giant Bomb's interview, and Matt Tiger totally said quintessence in it at one point, and I laughed because he'd mentioned that before.
Yeah, I tried to say quintessence as many times as possible, hoping that would sink in, but somehow he got Quintesson imprinted on him, and that's just the way it's going to be. But, you know, that's cool, whatever. One thing, watching all these interviews, listening to all these interviews with Matt Tiger is it's starting to get repetitive. And, yeah. And I'm starting to wonder, is he really that enthusiastic about it, or is he just a really good salesman? And I hope that he's both. But, yeah, I mean, I have not really learned anything new since, but, you know, that's fine.
Well, you were
there.
There isn't
a lot
there.
New to learn.
So,
but,
you got as long as you could get, I think, so far.
Yeah, but I'm just kind of happy that it seems that Activision is putting a lot of weight behind this thing. Mm-hmm. And they're not just like, oh, it's some licensed property and we're going to cash it in and whatever. It seems like they have some faith in the project, if nothing else, and they're making a go of it. Mm-hmm. It's not just going to get shoved out and forgotten.
Yeah, it's the whole lead up to this and what we've seen so far is it's heartening to me. That's the one word capsule I'd use. Dan, I know that between you and Seth, you've probably discussed this to death by now, but I'm curious if there's anything new that struck you in some of the recent War for Cybertron interviews and such.
Well, what I took out of that was there was a lot more video that, you know, I mean, what I was working with before was a few trailers and what Seth had told us and with his interview, which I think was way better, but,
oh, yeah.
You know. Even though he didn't have any fancy video or anything like that. But the video did reveal a few things to me that, you know, might not be worth mentioning elsewhere. But just the thing where they say that there's, like, unique levels for the jets. So mm-hmm. there's, you know, you're going to have a level where you're just flying, you know. And I don't know how I feel about that because I don't like the levels that kind of shoehorn you into one type of gameplay style, like, you know, the underwater levels in Mario. I always hated those.
Well, they showed part of a Starscream level at the demo, and it wasn't 100% all you were doing was flying around in jet mode. There were platforms and whatnot, and he was transforming into robot mode, landing and fighting dudes on foot, and then taking off into the air again.
Yeah. Okay.
He did say though that in the jet levels that out of the three characters you can choose from, all three of them are going to be jets. So it's not like you can choose between a jet and a car and a tank in one level. You'll have three jets and you can choose from those three.
And ideally, the three jets would be different ways.
Yeah, and I think that's. I mean, if you have a level that needs you to be a jet, I mean, it's going to break it if you be a car. I mean, unless they had like multiple.
You just
paths,
drive but, off the ledge or like game over. Make a better choice.
Well. You're just stuck in hover car mode, and it's really slow and lame. But that makes me wonder who the other two Autobot jets are going to be.
Yeah, I mean, it seems interesting to have that kind of gameplay style. I don't recall if in Revenge of the Fallen there was a strictly, like, flying game.
I don't
or, like,
believe
a flying
there,
level.
Oh, no, there was actually in the story mode, the level where Megatron is brought up out of the ocean is almost, you have to basically play as a jet. And fight
okay,
a
that's
billion
right.
jets.
That's right. Okay, so we have seen that before. Thank you. I totally forgot about that.
I only remember that but level because it was the only time in that single player mode where I got well and truly excited because it was really fun. And then like,
is that a 36 hour level where you play as Megatron, you just come out of the ocean, you just like fly to a different solar system, and it's just you in space, and there's a little arrow that says fly this way. And
well, it's like it's you and a whole bunch of aircraft carriers. Like if you're a Decepticon, it's you versus a billion aerial bots and a fleet. And all you have to do is blow up all the turrets on the boats and then blow up boats, and the whole time you're being assaulted by endless aerial bots. And it's kind of boring unless you start trying to melee the aerial bots. Then it becomes ludicrously fun because you're basically trying to headbutt them out of the air. And I don't know. I enjoyed that part of it. And I liked other parts of the game, but that was the only part where I felt like, man, like we're all flying robots turning into jets and stuff and then being robots and hovering and headbutting each other.
I did forget about that.
I would have to say that I agree that might have been the best level just because it was cool with all the warships around and there was like an oil refinery in the middle and it was just an interesting location, if nothing else.
The thing I will give it, though, is that that looked a lot smoother than, you know, the flying level in Revenge of the Fallen. Yeah. The little clip they showed, you know, you seen it doing a barrel roll and everything like that. And that'll be interesting. I did like how in, I don't remember which, because I think there's like two videos circulating out there, like a behind-the-scenes video and an interview video, but they're both really an interview video. But in one of them, they said how they took a lot of G1 cues, but they also try to add elements from like Tron and Blade Runner and other like gritty sci-fi. And I love that they're kind of treating this as a sci-fi property rather than a cartoon toy property, if that makes any sense.
No, I agree. I like that they cited stuff that's considered to be palpable sci-fi as like, you know, they're basically getting across to the layman audience who would just go like, it's toys. They're going like, no, there's also a setting. There are cities. There's personality. With Blade Runner, there's dystopianness, because this is like when they're about to leave Cybertron. So ideally, that's because Cybertron's starting to suck. So it's it's looking all busted up and stuff like that. About the flying level, I think like I totally agree that like it's the best way to go to have a flying level would be to just give you jets. I can see though how it can be kind of worrisome, only because so much has been said about how it's like you get to select from, you know, these bunch of characters and there's four different types, and then it's like, and then there's the flying level. So like I think it's fine, but I can see how it can kind of set some people like going, oh well, does that mean I,
well, even with the car level, like you can play as Optimus, Ratchet, or Bumblebee, and they all kind of have their own little, you know, moves. Like with Ratchet, you can heal and stuff like that. So there's a chance that while they all might be jets, they still might have like unique abilities or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
Just to break it up.
And even with the car levels, you don't have complete freedom over who you choose. Like each level is going to have three characters, and you choose from those. But let's say there's eight Autobot cars. Let's just say there's eight Autobot cars in the game, and you really want to be Ironhide all the time. You're not going to be able to be Ironhide all the time, because he's only going to be in these specific levels.
Oh, and Ironhide Man 1984 has just given up on the game.
No, I give up on him. How about that?
Oh, turn it around. War for Cybertron, that's probably going to be the big news up until its release. When's it coming out again?
June 22nd, I believe. It's the week of BotCon, I'm pretty sure. It comes out the same day that the novel does. That's the prelude to the War for Cybertron or something like that. Don't remember the exact title. I think it's Transformers Exodus.
Mm-hmm. That's pretty cool. I'm guessing that means War for Cybertron is probably going to be our big news up until BotCon, and then around BotCon time, I believe, is when they're going to start filming Transformers 3, and then that can become the news. I'm personally more enjoying video game news myself, because it means that we get cool headlines, like behind-the-scenes video, and we don't get cool headlines like, guess what? Sam's dad is going to be back in the movie. Yeah!
Hey, that was my headline.
And you posted it very well.
I did another riveting one today about Josh Duhamel,
dude, Josh,
or however you pronounce his last name.
Josh Duhamel is going to be in Transformers 3? Really?
You didn't see that one coming, did you?
Oh! It's like, you know, I appreciate they have to go up, but it's also like, I don't know what to say about it other than like, holy crap, guys! The recurring character is going to recur again.
Yeah, we got a lot of comments that are like, oh, really? Like, we didn't know that? It's like, oh, we got to put it up.
Yeah. I mean, like, now we know. It's just like, it's info.
It's like, sorry.
Yeah.
And another good thing about talking about the video game instead of another movie is we've probably used up all the Michael Bay jokes you can.
Oh, we're out.
So it's nice, too, to not have to keep rehashing the, he makes stuff blow up.
See, he could have done something beautiful if he'd gone to the Razzies and set up a whole new personality.
Yeah, we heard all about it.
So, I'm sad.
Now
I'm
we
sad.
Have Activision jokes we can make.
Oh, well, yeah. I was just listening to a new Bombcast about Activision and Infinity Ward and the saga and theories and what might have happened. But it looks like Activision's getting along with the Transformers game, so we're in the clear. Totally in the clear.
For now, until Matt Teager says one wrong word, and then it's game over.
Or he's about to get paid his royalties for the Transformers game, and then they call him into a meeting and go like, hey, we're going to make 15 Transformers games. Do you agree to this? And then he agrees, and then nothing happens. dude wants to make money.
What did you say, boss?
I don't know. I'm not good at Activision jokes, because I am a noob to the Activision cynicism. A lot of other people know that stuff better than I do. So I have to sit back and learn.
Well, they did just take the DLC down from Revenge of the Fallen. So
really?
If you had downloaded that before, you can no longer access it, is what people are saying on the boards. I haven't tried mine yet, but that's supposedly gone.
I have to check that. So I was going to change my hard drive, and I was wondering if I could just re-download stuff, but if it's not up there, then that would mess me up. Ooh!
Yeah, I didn't know that. I wanna, if you have a memory card, or if you wait a little longer, they're going to be supporting USB memory.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that news came out today. So if you have an Xbox 360, somewhere around the spring 2010 update, they're going to add support for USB memory exceeding 1 gig up to 16 gig, because they don't want that to, kind of cannibalize their sales,
yeah.
Seeing as though their memory units go up to 512 and their hard drives start at 20 gig.
Yeah. I was curious about that, because I want to swap my hard drives, but I'd like to back up my save games, and I don't want to go buy a memory card. So if I can wait and use a USB stick, that would be lovely.
Yeah, just hold out.
Ooh,
now,
wow.
So they shut down that DLC, but, I mean, you'd still have to be able to play it if you have it. Like, maybe you just can't re-download it, but if that's something you paid for, they can't just turn that off and not...
They're Activision. They can do whatever they want.
Yeah, they're the evil empire right now.
They can fire the guys who made Modern Warfare 2.
And they can get rid of Red Octane.
Oh, that sounds...
They can make another billion
sounds
hero
sketchy.
Games. But all that aside, tune into Gamepads Unplugged for more of that kind of video game discussion.
Yay!
Let's pause here for an intermission.
In a couple of weeks.
In a couple of weeks. Let's pause here for an intermission and wait a couple of weeks, and then we'll be back with what we got this week. In a couple of weeks. Gonna go back in time. Bop, bop, bop.
What?
I gotta put an intermission in after the what?
No.
This is a story about how the Chevy of Vail got its name. In 1918, a group of college pranksters decided to kidnap their rival college's mascot. Under the cloak of darkness, they stole a cow and branded a Vail on its hip. Wrong. Wrong? Totally wrong. It's Bevo, not a Vail. A Vail is Chevrolet's lowest priced new car. It's over 35 miles to the gallon at seats 5. So it wasn't a Vail? Correct. Think we offended anyone? Just the state of Texas. Log on, click through, drive out at TexasBestChevy.com.
We're back, and District 9 got screwed, didn't it, Gog?
Hell yeah, it did. The movie's awesome.
Yeah.
It got
Yeah, I should talk about it for a couple minutes. Nah.
Like 6 minutes straight.
Six minutes plus 2 minutes, so actually 8 minutes. I measured it off. It'll be out there as a supplemental sometime. We're going to talk about what we got this week. And I would like to hear from our special, super special guest, Dan, what he got this week.
Oh, I actually got a few things. I finally found Animated RC. I went to Woo-hoo! Toys R Us, Woo! And there was about 20 or so of the Cybertronian Ratchets on the pegs and one RC with a bent card. And I said, that's going home with me. Brought her home. She's great. I was a little... surprised. I thought that the swords, like when she's in robot mode, would kind of click in place, but they just seem to rest in their
no,
little
click.
Housing.
They click.
Do
they click? Yeah, you gotta push them in harder.
Yeah.
Do you have it with you now?
Yes.
Yeah, just give it a little push.
Yeah, I had trouble with that too. You kind of gotta finagle it in there until you think you're about to break it, and then it.
Yeah. Oh,
pops
there we
in.
Go.
Yeah.
You gotta give them like a little okay. half twist or something. Da, da, da.
Well, negativity rejected. She's great. I also got, thanks to GOG, had to go out and pick up that movie Lockdown because
yeah.
it is amazing.
Yeah.
I actually like it better than the animated version. It's they just made it more menacing
in both
modes.
Tell me that's not the coolest neck you've ever seen on a toy. Four joints.
It actually works. I did not think I'd like that, but it's really cool.
Yeah. I'm, like, spoiled now. Like, all these stupid, like, unit or mono shaft swivel joints for necks. I'm going to be like, I want to evoke lockdown in your neck.
The only thing I don't recall about that in comparison to the animated toy is I thought that the hook on the animated toy was removable.
It is.
Okay. So that's the only difference. Yeah. But I love it anyway. It's an awesome figure in both modes. And I also picked up Voyager Mindwipe.
Ooh.
He's pretty cool. I wish that his swords were removable, though.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, I just saw a really cool fan mode someone shared with me of combining him with Skystalker in robot mode and making him like a giant, freaky, armored core-looking thing. I'll try that out if I get a hold of those toys.
Yeah, out of all three, I'd have to say that Lockdown was my favorite that I picked up this week.
Yeah. I like RC quite a bit, though, but they're both really... I got both of those in the same week, just like you, and that was a good week to
be a Transformers fan for me.
Oh, yeah, this is like my first proper RC. I mean, I know there's been other RCs, but this is the closest thing to a G1 RC I will probably ever own, so I'm very happy about that. But, man, that Lockdown, whew. Awesome.
So have to find that Lockdown. I just shot videos for RC and my two Lockdown repaints, and I'm all jazzed to find new Lockdown now.
Which one? The clear and the blazing?
Yeah. I like clear and blazing Lockdown, actually.
I do too.
It's one of the few times where there's three versions of a deluxe toy, and I like all three versions. Like, I don't know how to explain it. It's just, especially when you have all three of them together, it's just like, man, like this dude is equipped. That's cool. And it sounds like RC is starting to hit a slight semblance of saturation, because I know a lot of people I know on YouTube who have been trying to find RCs have all been getting RCs lately.
So, I think this hopefully the scalpers are starting to give up, because
yeah.
People are just, you know, they can only buy so many before they realize that they're not going to sell them.
So. People aren't buying them for $30 anymore, so that's cool, and Mindwipe's another one I gotta keep an eye out for. Gog, did you get anything this week?
I did. I got. I actually bought a Legends Wheelie, and because I had seen one like I don't know a month ago, and then never saw it again, and I was like, you know, only a couple bucks, so he's cool. I think in the end I like the Legends version more than the movie deluxe. Mm-hmm. But it's just simpler and it has a more accurate head.
It's in a bit better too, because
the
deluxe one just gets friggin' huge.
I'm not even really that fond of the design that much. It's just that he's just an ugly, simple little dude. I don't know. I don't know why I like that.
It's a nasty thing to say to someone. Hey, guess what, buddy? You're ugly and simple.
But we love you anyway.
But I will buy small versions of you.
You horrible little freak. Nobody loves you except for me. And I barely love you. I don't even love you. I tolerate you.
Did Banjo just make a sound while you were saying all that?
No.
Okay. I thought I heard Banjo, and I was like, that would be pretty rough if Banjo was like, is he talking to me?
Rejected. I got a mint chocolate chip Starscream.
Yeah, how nebular is he?
You're gonna find out. Maybe I might
show
even...
me.
You see, when I said I don't think he looks nebular, I thought you were just gonna like take a picture of a nebula and Photoshop it next to him. But it sounds like you're gonna pull off something more impressive.
I have something in mind. You'll see. I'll work on it tonight. I'll try to have it done so that I can post it in the thread by the time this episode goes up.
Yeah.
So yeah, he's cool. I like the paint job. The metallic green. I don't know. Like it. There's nothing particularly fantastic about it in concept. Like, hey, we'll make Starscream dark brown and add metallic green tattoos. Like, kind of strange, but it's, I don't know.
It's not strange, cool. Man. It's nebular.
Totally nebular, dude. But the, no, I don't know. That it's a great mold. It's a really cool mold. I don't know. It's almost like a teaser on the tip of the tongue for Leader Starscream, whatever the heck that thing is coming out.
Yeah. Well, it's in package in China now, so it's good. Out there.
So, yeah, so we'll definitely have it before BotCon then. So that'll be cool. And I also grabbed Voyager Mindwipe, and he's okay. I don't know. Like, I don't know. I agree with D-Fuzz, the dagger gimmick. See, okay, if you go back to when I talked about Scout Skystalker, like, the cool surprising thing about his weapon gimmick was that it was completely optional. Like, you could put those things in the hand, but if you don't like them, you can just clip them back in the wings and they fit into place and they're completely seamless. Like, you don't, you know, they're just non-existent at that point. But the dagger things on Mindwipe's arms, they just stick out like a sore thumb. The clips, at least on mine, don't necessarily hold that well. So while you're fiddling with them and posing them around, it might just flip out on its own. You know, and sometimes you have to get the hands to kind of sit just right so that there's enough friction to keep them from popping out. I don't know. I think I would have liked them a lot more if it was, you know, if those things were more of just like you just pop them out and then put them in his hands like weapons. Mm-hmm. I know they were going for the gimmick, but in my opinion, it's another case of where the gimmick, I think, hurts the mold. So
I agree completely.
Yeah.
I mean, he looks great in robot mode and in jet mode, but those damn blades, it's just, ugh.
Yeah. So, and I like the head mold on him. Like, he does some cool stuff. He's got that, I don't even know if there's different terms for it or not, but like how some of the larger Voyager figures, they have kind of that thick, smooth plastic, like Ultra Onslaught from Universe.
Oh yeah, yeah, where it's like it's got that different feel to it.
Yeah, it feels like it's just a big giant like block of like smooth hard plastic. So it like he feels nice, and he feels nice and sturdy, and his joints are, you know, thick, and everything is. You know, everything's well built on him, but man, those arms. I would have liked him so much if it wasn't for that gimmick. I wish that they would have found a better way to do it. And I was like, well, maybe I can just take him off. I'm like, oh, wait, that's the cockpit.
I was going to ask if you could just pull the springs out or something, but I'm guessing that it's too integral.
Well, you might be able to actually take the springs out. But I don't know. Like, he's cool, and he actually looks really cool combined with Skystalker. You plug Skystalker in on top of the jet mode, and it's, I don't know, it's neat looking.
You should try combining the robot modes.
Yeah, I haven't really done it yet. I've seen 2, 3, 4 different variations on it, so maybe this weekend I'll have a chance to sit around and fiddle with him a little bit. But
yeah,
I mean, he's good. I mean, he looks good as a display piece as long as you kind of pose the arms. Those giant red sacks on his forearm aren't sticking out some crazy way.
That's where all his reproductives are when he mates with Lady Mindwipes. His forearm sack.
He just stabs him in the chest and injects.
His forearm sacks start to swell, and he's like, now I know it is time to seek out another Mindwipe. All right. Seth.
The gamete sacks.
Did you get anything this week?
Yeah.
I saw you tweet about something.
I know. I bought something on Topic, and I didn't need anybody to find it and send it to me.
All by himself.
But I'm going to tease that one out. I'm going to save that to the end, because I'm going to do a little off-topic first. So I got a couple more Iron Man figures. I got the classic comic book style red and yellow Iron Man. Just because, man, the first movie style armor ones, it's such a disappointment how they cocked up the articulation. With the neck being stuck down and the chest being super loose and the arms and legs being hampered by pieces of armor bumping into each other. But the comic book style one is articulated much better. And I got the movie style War Machine. So I have both War Machines. And they're hanging out together drinking.
How do you like the movie one?
I like the style of it. I like the detail in it. But like you were saying, the having Gatling gun on one shoulder and gigantic Gatling gun on the other shoulder is kind of cool.
Yeah, especially since they gave you mounting points for both. I read somewhere, I don't know if it's true, but I read somewhere that they're going to be re-releasing that mold with an open face, kind of the helmet open so you can see little John Cheadle head in there.
Yeah.
And it's going to come with the little parallelogram missile launcher, like it shows in all the concept art. So
with that and with the helmetless,
I guess Yeah, when you combine those, it's basically like a, you know, you can accessorize your war machine, like swap out heads, swap out weapons. So that's probably what I'm going to do if that's true.
With that and the helmetless Tony Stark, I saw a picture of that stuff, but then I saw someone say those are going to all be 6-inch, and I couldn't get that straight, like whether or not it's the 6-inch Walmart stuff or if it's the 3¾-inch stuff that's getting that.
Yeah, I don't know.
I've been spectating that line pretty hardcore because I was like, I wanted to skip it, and then everyone is saying how it's like the best Marvel little figures that have come out in ages. So now I'm like,
when you get good ones, they're the best. There's some really bad, cute, like on at least the people that I've read that have bought them, like half of them, the joints are fused, and you have to like take a hairdryer to them to loosen them up.
I haven't had anything like that.
I read something on Boosh about that.
My War Machine's legs were completely fused. And I had to hold them in the heater vent of my car for about 10 minutes before they'd loosen up.
Yeah, I read a thing about relating to how some Crimson Dynamos have their calves or whatever installed backwards. That like a lot of these Iron Man toys turn out really well if you like get a bowl of boiling water and soak them in it for an hour before you mess with them. Because apparently that plus then sticking them in the freezer afterwards will like fix everything. And I was like, that's funny how you have to like boil your toy before you can play with it.
Yeah, that's a lot of work just to enjoy your toys.
It's free, though. I mean, it's free, but yeah. I feel bad for the kids, man. Like, these kids that are getting these toys, and they go to move the leg, and it just snaps off.
Yeah.
Because even the people that know what they're doing have broken a lot of these things, because they're like, well, if I wiggle it just right, it should unstick. Oh, wait, the peg just unstuck from itself.
Yeah, that happened to me with the first set of movie toys. Expensive. I snapped off a head, and I was like, I'm not buying any more Iron Man toys. Forget it. Ooh.
Yeah, they're expensive to just be breaking.
Yeah.
It's not like you're getting some junky knockoffs or something, and it's like, okay, well, whatever.
I do appreciate this because it's helping me get back to my stance of just looking for Crimson Dynamo. Because I had, like, I read through that thread, and I was starting to get to, like, man, I should just get all 6 marks of Iron Man. And then I was like, no, wait.
As long as you look at them through the package first, and you don't have any paint defects, then you'll be fine because you can unstick the joints. But supposedly there's a lot of paint issues on them, too.
Well, I haven't really seen paint issues. The only one I've had any beef with is that I think it's the Mark IV is what it's called on the package. But it looks just like the Iron Man armor from the first movie. And
Mark VI.
It's just floppy. The chest is just so floppy, and the armor pieces. It's not even that there's a problem with the joints. It's the way the pieces of armor attached to his shoulders and his legs are set, they get in the way, and you just can't. It limits their range of motion. But like with that comic book style one, I also have the Marvel Fury Files Iron Man, and it's so much better than that one. It's just ridiculous how I thought that. The Fury Files one was silly and goofy looking to begin with because it was so skinny. But there's a lot of good figures in this.
Yeah. And if all else fails, you can just go grab an Ultron. That's all you need.
I need that Ultron.
I've seen a few of those around, and I've been tempted. But I forgot his name. What, Guardian? Is it Guardian?
Is he the Canadian one? Because Guardian's the Canadian one.
Yeah, I got it.
He's one of the Alpha Flight guys.
Yeah, Captain Canada.
Going back.
Yeah, I picked up a Captain Canada.
Guardian. He's called Guardian because he guards. True North, strong and free.
And a Halo figure. I got Dare. Oni Operative Dare.
How is that? Because I always almost buy those little Halo guys because they look poseable, but then they're McFarlane and I get scared.
Yeah, she's probably the best articulated of all the Halo figures I have so far. Like, just the joint, none of the joints were kind of stuck-ish, and she was all right. She's okay. I mean, I just got it last night. I haven't messed with her too much, but she holds her submachine gun great. Like, the arms and the way the hands are, like, the angle the hands are, she could hold her submachine gun with both hands, and it doesn't look awkward or like she's holding it goofy. It looks good. She looks good holding it two-handed. And then my big on-topic thing.
Oh!
Is I found a movie Lockdown.
Oh, I am so late to the bus on this. Oh, man.
Woo!
So I finally get a chance to go to a Target, right? And I go to the Roanoke Park Target, which is... Oh, no, no. No, the Novato Target. No, I got Guardian at the Roanoke Park Target last week. And that Target... I don't know if they just don't get anything, or if there's like a hardcore scalper or a bunch of collectors in Roanoke Park, because I never find anything at that Target. That place is lame. But so yesterday I went to the Novato Target, and they're usually better. But they're remodeling, so they're low on stock for everything. Like, they had no Joes at all. There was no Joes, because I was hoping to finally get a hold of that snake armor, which they didn't have at Roanoke Park. Stupid Roanoke Park.
Roanoke Park is not sponsored by WTF and TFW.
Yeah, the whole Joe section was empty.
You still haven't seen that, the snake armor yet?
I've seen the snake armor here. I mean, it's overpriced as all hell here because it's Zellers, but yeah, I've seen that thing a couple times.
I'm telling you, if you want one, I can send you one.
When they finish remodeling the Novato one, or if I get up to Santa Rosa, I'm sure they'll have it there. Just, it looked like that they hadn't reset the Joe stuff, because there was zero Joe stuff at the Novato Target. And they didn't have... because I was hoping to find Bludgeon too, but they didn't have any newer Voyagers. They only had some old movie stuff. But they did have Lockdown, so I grabbed Lockdown. And boy, is he super great. Just love that guy. I love the little mechanical bit in his leg that twists when you move his leg around. And I love that big, chunky hook. It's just good times.
Yeah, like at first I thought that the new hook was going to be overkill, and then when I go back and look at animated Lockdown, I'm like, man, that hook is small.
It's a hook.
I went and grabbed my animated Lockdown so I could side by side them, and I didn't remember the hook being that small, and I was like, ew. But yeah, the neck is awesome. I spent just tons of time just messing around with his head and neck and putting it all the way up and putting it all the way down and then putting it sort of halfway up and then putting the lower part of the neck down and the head up, and I just played with that for a long time.
So I pose my women.
Yeah.
Neck up, neck down.
Put the hook on their head.
Neck up, neck down, neck sideways.
And they stop breathing. I don't get it.
Oh, no, not that far. Come on, man.
You gotta be a Lockdown, or you gotta be dead. All right? Are you gonna be locked down?
You're making Gog out to sound like Lenny from Mice and Men. And that's not cool. He's no Lenny. If anything, you're the Lenny.
I'm not a. I don't. I don't have mice.
Seth to the rescue.
Ouch.
Well,
I wouldn't mind being
Lenny. I tease Gog so much. I thought it. Get on his side for once.
If I could,
we
if
just
I
got
could
all retcon, literary up in here.
Yeah, if I could retcon Lenny to like be a badass who breaks necks and not like a big dumb dude who breaks necks, then spoiler for Of Mice and Men, by the way.
Defoe's is like Curly from Mice and Men. He always wears one glove full of Vaseline, so his hand is soft for his woman.
Is it? Is that all you got? Are you done? I just want to go back to something.
Done with this dumb crap? Can we finish with this stupid segment now?
No, there's something I wanted to go back on, but I want to wait till you're finished.
Yeah, that's done.
Okay. No, I wanted to say something that I forgot to mention before, and it goes back to BotCon of last year, because somebody had asked at the Hasbro panel about the twisty ties, and Hasbro said that they were coming out with, you know, something different.
Yeah.
And I meant to bring this up back when I got Spoons, but I forgot about it. And then when I got Nebular Starscream, it had the same thing. They're basically still twisty ties. These are the only two occurrences I've seen of those, with the Starscream and then that Walmart Scout pack. Mm-hmm. But they're actually more like, they're twisty ties, but they're like, it's like paper string.
Yeah, I had that on spoons too. And I was like, oh, is this the biodegradable stuff?
Yeah, but what's cool about it is you can just take a knife or anything and just snip it. So you don't have to have something that can cut through metal wire. You can just take like a key or something and blip and undo it. So, like, I mean, you have to be careful. You can still scratch the figure, but it looks like that the new this new thing they were talking about last year is starting to roll out. I wonder if it's gonna
it's green
take over
too
completely. Yeah. Well, I don't care about that.
I'm just saying. I do.
No, I mean
environment.
I mean, look, it's small. It's small. And twisty ties you can reuse if you really want to use them.
When I was in grade one, I started my own Kids for Saving Earth Club for a whole week.
That's cute. That's cute.
I sent a letter to Boston Pizza about pizza boxes. I still have it somewhere.
But on
topic. using those twisty ties for other things, Banjo loves those. Oh my god, he loves the twisty ties. So I make him in a little circle, and I twist it around so the ends aren't sticking out, and he plays with them and bites them, and then gets bored, and it's on the floor, and I have to pick it up and throw it away. But at least it got some secondhand use.
Yeah. I just like making a big ball of them. Keep twisting them all together until I have this giant ball of twist ties.
Man, you're so Lenny.
And I chuck it at somebody. And then they dead, and I don't know why they dead.
I got a dead mouse in my pocket.
I petted him done too hard. I got something this week, and it's unfortunately off topic. Yeah, I got a dead mouse this week because I petted it too hard, but I'm keeping it in my pocket in case I can put him back together.
Radicons.
Radicons. I have a dead woman in my bed, and I need you to fix her. Stored her in a haystack.
Is that a heavy scratch, or
need to strip the paint off? So I got something from Maddie Collector, and I just wanted to bring this up so I could say that I can now eat crow. I mean, I, in the wake of Maddie Collector's now infamous 4-minute Mossman sale, to their credit, they
oh god, Mossman.
To their credit, they got me my man at arms in under a month, and it's very heartening after the 65 or 67 day Scareglow wait that something came in under 30 days. So now I got me a man at arms with his, and I immediately pulled him out of the box, and I immediately put on his mustache head, and I immediately threw the other head somewhere.
Yeah, that other head doesn't work.
Mustacheless man at arms is pointless. the whole point of any new man at arms toy is to not be the 80s toy that was clean shaven. And I love his giant. Exactly. I love his giant club, and I love his electronic power sword because I always liked that sword more than the old one. And I only have a battle armor He-Man, so now I got like armored He-Man with a techno sword, and I'm like, I like it more. So I got my mustache, dude. And yeah, right in the wake of the 2 months of first the Battle Cat sellout and then the Mossman sellout and everyone getting flipped out about fuzzy green dude, I'm kind of going like, hey, Maddie Collector, not all that bad. They get me stuff within a month. Ray.
I remember when, back in the day, Mossman comes out, my brother wanted a Mossman so bad. He really wanted a Mossman. He gets a Mossman, takes it out of the package, plays with it for a few minutes, puts it aside, and says, and this is the quote, "He's not even fun to hold." The texture of Mossman just, it bugged him. He couldn't touch it. It drove him crazy. And then a little while later, he got a skunk ore, and we had to keep it outside because it smelled so bad. And then he spent like a whole afternoon one Saturday trying to de-stink it, like washing it, putting perfume on it. My brother had a hard time with He-Man toys.
Luckily, I got that Mossman as a subscription, so I didn't have to get all upset at that 4-minute sellout. But that was ridiculous.
I was going
to
ask you,
Dan. I can see why a lot of people are upset about that.
Yeah, I've seen you post about Masters of the Universe stuff sometimes, and like I really just try to spectate it most of the time because it's guys like Mossman. I think it's great that they made a fuzzy green dude who smells like pine, but at the same time, I'm not crushed that I can't get him. But yeah, Maddie Collector, man, those guys, it's like they are an eternal punching bag, and they bring it on themselves pretty hardcore. they have an anti-Orson called Toy Guru who keeps saying things that make people angry. instead of happy.
Yeah, their Facebook page, if you just look at their Facebook site on any, you know, sale day for Masters of the Universe, you're just going to see a large list of, I hate you, Maddie. You don't know what you're doing, Maddie. And, yeah, it's got to be a little disheartening, but, you know, they delete them all, and then they go, hey, thanks, we had a great month. See you next month.
Well, I heard the Toy Guru about Moss Man. He just went all like, man, did you guys hear? We sold out Moss Man in 5 minutes. And it's like, I don't think anyone's clapping, dude. I think yeah.
Like, we're all going to be like, that's great news. All right.
Oh,
good
Toy
for
Guru.
You.
I love his quotes, because people in the Masters of the Universe thread, they're always quoting Toy Guru when I don't remember if he said it, but like there was some other post where they were going like, we know that some of you guys get angry because you try to put everything in your cart, and then when you go to check out, your checkout's canceled because something's sold out. So why don't you just order everything separately and get it all shipped separately? It's like, because that's an extra $8 per figure, that's why. And they're like, if you really want it, you'd be doing that. It's like, wow.
Otherwise, you're not a true fan.
I know. Oh, man. I don't know.
You're not a true fan unless your fandom crashes your entire website. You call in an order. They write you your name and your credit card number on a piece of paper, and you find out 3 days whether it went through or not. Like Nemesis Prime Alternator.
I know. Well, imagine the SDCC stuff with Nemesis Prime every month, and apparently that is what you get with Maddie, and it's an adventure.
Yeah, every time this topic comes up, it just makes me so glad that I'm not a He-Man collector.
Yeah. Oh, dude.
Like,
it can get brutal. I was worried I wasn't going to get that Battle Cat, and I was like, you know, I was getting the sweats, man. I was like, oh god.
And they always do it.
It's 11 o'clock. Go, go, go.
Yeah, it's like it happens. The sale happens in the middle of the day on a weekday, so like people have to take days off work. And for stuff like Battle Cat, where it's like it's friggin' Battle Cat, right? It's a giant. It's He-Man's. Faithful companion, and it's like, you know, it's going to sell out, and it's like you can't subscribe to get it, so take the day off work, and if you're on the West Coast, you better be on that site 11:45 starting your refresh cycle immediately.
That's a horrible reason to take a day off.
Oh, dude, my friend JD, he took a day off work in advance because it's always on the 15th. Then they shifted the sale day to the 19th next month. So he has to go to his work and go like, I need to change my day off to the 19th. And they're going to go like, why? And he's going to go like, because...
toy cat.
Because my He-Man toys.
It's a green cat with armor.
My He-Man toys are being sold on a different day. And... oh, it's rough. It's rough. Anyway, that's what we got this week. Let's finish off with a listener question. The queue is much shorter, by the way, so we're just doing one listener question this time. Also because the dude asked three questions. And that makes him count for more than one. This is a listener question from Coolest Animations, who sent me this on YouTube. And he says, quote, I have a couple of questions, but I don't have a TFW account I download through iTunes. So, question number one. Lots of people have said they loved Shattered Glass and other BotCon sets. Would you like these continued in Transformers Classics 3.0: Generations? Wait, what? Transformers Classics 3.0 Generations. That's long. Okay, where Hasbro would not have the same can't use a mold twice in two different set issues. So, basically, would you like to see Shattered Glass continued with less convention restrictions in an upcoming mainline? Dan?
Yeah, I'd like to see more Shattered Glass stuff. If that's what we're specifically talking about, I don't know. The reference to other BotCon sets, because I don't really need to see any more Wings of Honor stuff.
Oh, I guess he does mean, like, yeah, would you like to see Wings of Honor or pre-Beast Wars, Beast Wars, or stuff like that? Like,
The pre-Beast Wars stuff was all right. I think the most interesting one is, in my opinion, the Shattered Glass. So, yeah, I would definitely love to, especially after seeing that Cyclonus. I got to have that. So I'm really curious as to what else they could possibly pull out. For a Shattered Glass subline or items to throw in the Classics 3.0: Generations line.
Seriously. It's like you put everything in there.
Hey, you want to cover all the bases.
Andy called it Transformers, so it just went everywhere. 3.0: I love you, Coolest Animations. You're doing art with your punctuation. Gog, how would you answer this question?
I think he was asking... if we want to see these in retail instead of exclusives.
Well, you said, would you like to see these continued in that retail line, basically?
Yeah. Yeah, but we haven't. Yeah, but they've never been in retail. All the Shattered Glass stuff has been.
Yeah, yeah. So like,
has been convention. So I think he was saying, like, would you like to see them pumping out like retail versions of Shattered Glass stuff in order to have stuff to put on the pegs? If you know, I don't know. Kind of like how I feel with Cyclonus. If it's an interesting enough repaint of a mold that I like, then yeah, I'll get it. It's better than repainting a figure a different color and calling it a completely different character and saying, here you go. But if you give me a different version of a character I like and it's interesting, especially, I mean, at retail, I wouldn't mind that even more, because that means I'd get to pay $12 for Cyclonus instead of 40 plus or whatever. So
yeah,
I wouldn't mind seeing it. And if I don't like it, then, you know, I can pass on one. I'd be down for that. As far as the whole Shattered Glass set, no. But if they do a couple of good paint jobs, you know, and just throw them into the line, just give us two really good ones, and yeah, I'd be down with that.
All right, and Seth, how would you answer this question?
Yeah, like Gog was saying, doing Shattered Glass repaints would be better than. Just like, oh, now it's somebody else, just different colors. Or even, in my opinion, that's an even better reason to do a repaint than it's Urban Jungle Strike Commando color scheme. Then, oh, whoop-de-doo. I mean, at least there's a story behind Shattered Glass, and it's like another reason for collecting, kind of a deal. Personally, I'm not interested in Shattered Glass. I think we talked about that in 85. Not 1985. In
1985.
Episode 85. That would have been awesome if in 1985 we were going to have a...
And like a flashback, like everything gets wavy and it shows Seth in 1985 talking about Shattered Glass.
And if they ever do something like that stupid Star Trek episode, man, I am leaving. I'm done with this fandom. I've only been in it for a year, but...
We could rip off the Totally Rad Show from a couple weeks ago and do a whole episode awesome. As though it was the 80s.
Count me in.
Yeah, that was an awesome episode. I don't hope that it happens, but if it does happen, it's like, okay, I'm okay with that. I'm not excited for it, but I'm definitely not going to be mad about it. That'd be ridiculous. Although that would be funny. Somebody would be mad about it, though. Like, if they started doing Shattered Glass, like, just putting it out every now and then, here's an evil Bumblebee. Like, somebody would be like, this is garbage! What are they doing? Freaking Hasbro!
Sounds like you got something that might be an impetus for this particular metaphor. Or
Hasbro spelled with a dollar sign!
I love the additional at the end.
See, if people started typing that at the end, I'd like the post more. Because that would be like, you know, at least they'd be committed. You know, going like A-H-H-H-U-H.
No, they don't type it out. They attach an audio file.
That's exactly what I was about to say. When people go on rants like that, they shouldn't even be allowed to type. They should record themselves speaking in front of a camera just raging.
And put it on YouTube.
Just in the forum. There should be an audio attachment. Post, video posts.
My reply, .zip. with a JPEG screen cap of their angriest face during it. And just as the teaser. I agree with a bit of each of your guys' things. Like Dan, I really dig a lot of the Shattered Glass stuff. I think that Shattered Glass really ran with the ball that it was given a lot better than I expected it to. Like, it just held on to it. It was like, it makes no bones about being a mirror universe, and it kind of gleefully does so. And as Gog was saying, I would love it if Generations had, like, one or two Shattered Glass dudes, just as, like, that's going to be where it references them. Like, how they're doing, hey, guess what, it's Straxus, that's our comic guy. And then it'll be like, hey, guess what, it's, like, it's Shattered Glass, whatever, that's our Shattered Glass guy. And Seth had a
Shattered Glass Warpath.
Yeah,
Shattered Glass Warpath is a hippie. And I would buy that.
He shoots giant. He's all tie-dyed. But that'd be awesome. Like Seth was saying, Shattered Glass is a better reason for repaints than just like putting a prefix on someone's name and going like, it's Jungle Attack Guy. It's like, if
you, Urban Jungle Attack.
Urban Jungle Attack Desert Strike Guy.
Commando.
Commando Headmaster.
Nemesis.
Nemesis. It's a way better excuse than Nemesis, because Nemesis is rote. Nemesis is done. So it's definitely, I agree with that. That, you know, if you're going to repaint a dude, then making him the evil Mirror Universe counterpart is at least more interesting than saying it's him when he's blue. I agree with that.
You know what they need to do? If they do more Shattered Glass stuff, we need more beards.
Yes.
More bearded Transformers.
Goatees. They got to do the Hot Rod thing more often. Like, that's the thing I was going to say. Going off Seth's thing, if they have to repaint a toy, they should always be forced to paint facial hair onto it as well.
Yes!
Like, imagine animated Bulkhead, Mudbuster Bulkhead. If he had a goatee, he'd be a million times better.
Okay. Okay,
I agree.
Seth, what if they made Shattered Glass Shockwave, but he was like a wise old man, and they gave him like robo beard, like robo gray beard. Gray beard Shockwave, the wise old.
But still no mouth, just a beard.
Yeah.
Well, what mold are they using? What mold are, where, what Shockwave mold are they using?
A good one.
G1.
What are they doing? G1?
G1 with a beard.
Just well, be then... hanging off of his eye.
They hang it around those two ear things of his. Like, these have hooks that go on there.
I'd be okay with that.
Okay. There's hope for you.
Excellent. Moving on to question number two. If Hasbro did some more combiners in Generations, and he only says Generations this time, I'm disappointed. I was hoping... Okay, if Hasbro did more combiners in Transformers Classics 3.0: Generations, would you like them to be Energon type so the limb can combine with Classics Devastator, Universe Superion, and ROTF Bruticate? Well, that's the gamut there, because Superion was only Universe in Australia. And would you like the limbs to be separate molds, bearing in mind if you did, then you might only get Defensor and Minasaur... But if two limbs out of each wear repaints, then you, then you could have Predaking, Defensor, Minasaur, and Computron. I lost track of that question.
He's saying, he's asking, he's saying, in Energon, they kind of skimped out and only made two molds for all four limbs. So he's saying, would you like to have that skimping, meaning we could have four combiners, or just, like, a better combiner and only get maybe two molds?
I actually do feel really bad that I didn't get the question when I was reading it, so I... Thank you, GogDog. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
And I apologize, Coolest Animations. You still have the coolest animations. So, Dan, would you want to have more combiners with repainted limbs or less combiners with fully unique limbs? I think this is the big question about the Energon guys from way back, too. So, how would you answer that?
Well, I didn't like the Energon combiners to begin with, probably mostly because of the two molds that you can interchange. I kind of like my combiners classic style, where each character is unique. You know, especially if you're going to throw a Predaking or Minasaur possibility in there, then I'm totally on board with whatever will bring a Minasaur home to me.
I should clarify, I say Minasaur because he spelled it M-E-A-N-A-S-A-U-R. So he's the meaner Menasaur.
Yes. And he's got a beard.
Yes.
And I think we're probably due for another Ruination repaint anyway. I mean, speaking of Urban King,
yeah!
Like Desert Strike stuff, I mean, maybe we can get like a Nebular Ruination
Nebular
that we can throw
Ruination
in the Classics 3.0: Generations line.
So, all right. Gog, would you be up for Classics 3.0: Generations Nebular Ruination Urban Strike Desert Mission?
With a beard.
With a beard.
If it came with the beard, I would, but that's the litmus test.
That's right.
But no, I agree exactly with what Dan said. I would much rather have a completely unique, built-from-scratch combiner. I would much rather have two of those than just have four that are just kind of, you know, repaint-driven. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of interesting, his question, too. He's like, but if two limbs of each were repaints, then you could have Predaking. I don't want, like, you know, two rhinos or whatever in my Predaking, you know?
Yeah.
I want to have each unique animal, so that would kind of ruin Predaking anyway. You could maybe get away with it with the vehicles by giving them a different paint job, but... I don't know. I would much rather get two really good, completely unique combiners than to have the Energon style where you have the same. I don't, you know, I don't know. That like that was always the thing that disappointed me with the Energon ones, and I kind of shied. I got the because I skipped. I didn't get any of them while Energon was going on. I was kind of starting to get back into Transformers while Energon was going on, and Energon itself didn't really do anything for me. And I ended up getting the Devastator when it was re-released in Classics, but it was enough to know that, like, okay, I see what these combiners are, what they're going for. I didn't get any of the others. I skipped Bruticus and Superion. Just for the basically this, those reasons. So yeah, just going back to what we were talking about with the Power Core stuff. I mean, give me just one awesome combiner with all unique molds and make it poseable and put good effort into it, and I think that will sell enough to justify the effort put into it.
I always got the impression when they revealed that when they developed those combiners, they kind of flipped a coin on, are we going to do two with unique limbs or three with doubled up limbs? And it always felt to me like whenever the Hasbro guys talked about it, they kind of went like, we kind of wish we'd gone with the unique limbs, because the not so much for, you know, having dudes without repainted limbs, but also I think because having the three of them stretched out over four waves or whatever it was just didn't really work as a sales model.
And look at the response that the third party kits are getting. I mean, people would buy them, no doubt.
So Seth, how would you answer the question?
I have not been into modern combiners at all, so I'm not really up on how they work and the different molds and whatnot. So,
well, like, there's four little robots and they turn into arms and legs.
What you guys are talking about, like, oh, well, they reuse these molds and there's two molds on this and that and blah, blah, blah. I'm not up on any of that stuff. I haven't been paying attention to any combiners post RID, because really, come on,
RID?
After the trains, how do you, yeah, and after Rail Racer, how do you even shame the concept of combiners with anything less?
Rail Racer is pretty rad.
It's the most rad.
Totally rad?
The most.
The most totally rad generations colon 3.0?
The bestest. He's got a big pair of besticles.
All right. Well, there's one more question here, which is called question 3. And it is, if Hasbro was to release Alternity, only without so much metal and other things to get through safety laws, would you pick them up? And then, would you like IDW to do fiction, i.e. comics, which was in all caps, more than meets the eye, guidebooks, etc.? Or maybe a video game, in brackets, you would need a large controller for all those powers. At a push, a movie. So, would you support Alternity coming out over here in some altered form, and then would you support everything under the sun to support Alternity? Dan?
I'll go with yes.
Wicked. Would you want to have?
I like Alternity. I think it's. I think it'd be awesome to see that over here because I loved the Alternators line, and since we did get Alternators over here, I bought very few of the Bynal Techs because didn't need to. I wouldn't really see them doing anything else, you know, like a fiction or video game or movie to support a subline of Transformers. But if there were anything to come out, yeah, I mean, I'd check it out, obviously. I'm a Transformers fan. Mm-hmm. But I think the only feasible thing that would come out would be comic books.
You wouldn't be up for a video game with an Atari Jaguar controller so you had, like, 5 million cosmic powers at the push of a button?
Oh, of course. I'd be down with any video game that come out. I mean, heck, I bought the first movie game. So if that tells you what kind of torture I'll go through to play a Transformers game, then...
Hey, I bought it too, but that doesn't mean I played
it. Yeah, I pre-ordered it, and I think I only played it for about 2 hours, and then just kind of sucked up the $50 loss.
I played it through to completion.
Ooh.
Ouch.
Yes. Yeah.
Whoa.
So yeah, if I did that, of course I would play some video game based on Alternity with convoluted controls.
Excellent. It would use the Sony Move or whatever, the motion controller. You have to spell.
And you actually have to, like, convert yourself into odd positions to make your guy transform.
You have to write Latin words out with the motion controller to activate your different powers.
I still wish Sony named their Wii control knockoff the US.
You should have saved that for gamepads, man.
Been great. Well, we're on unintentional hiatus, so
that was pretty brilliant.
Sony US. We're better than Wii. All right. Gog, how do you answer the alternative question as someone who is pretty digging the toys?
Yeah, I'm happy with the way Takara's doing it, and while I know the Hasbro ones would probably cost less, I don't know if the maybe the what they'd shave off would, you know, if that would be good or not. The alternative figures are coming out so few and far between where it's easy to just say, okay, well, there's three or four, one, two, three, four, however many. Actually, I think it's just two. Paint variations of each. Well, with Megatron, there was three. There was like the Diamond Black.
They did three for Prime and three for Megatron. But
which
so
was
far.
The third? Which was the third convoy?
Nemesis Black Convoy.
Oh yeah, yeah, okay. So far there's been two to three color variations of each mold, and it's been pretty easy for me at this point to just say, okay, I want this one. I like this one the best, and I'll go ahead and grab it. And you know, they're only coming out one every few months, and it's easy to drop, you know, $50 on one. I don't know if Hasbro did it, there's no way we would get the Cliff Jumper paint scheme, you know? So
I don't think that they'd be sustainable, really, because I think that was, if you look back on Alternators, that was one of Alternators' big problems, was that since only, you know, there were two figures to a wave and they had no supporting media, you'd see a ton of shelf-warming smokescreens, for instance, after the opening couple months, and then you'd still see smokescreen when Silver Streak was supposed to be out and stuff like that.
So, I mean, I can't really fault Alternators. It was, you know, partially Alternators Shockwave, which got me completely back into the hobby.
And it's also like Alternators was how many years ago, and how have sales models changed since then for Transformers and stuff like that.
So, I just don't know if Hasbro would handle it right. If they were to just import the straight Takara molds and sell them retail for less, then yeah, I would be all about it completely. But if they were to shave off maybe quality and paint and stuff like that, then I don't know. I think at this point I'd probably stick with the Japanese releases. Well,
there isn't even that much metal to take out of them, because a lot of the metal's in
Not even just metal necessarily, but just, you know, quality of paint and I don't know. But, yeah, I mean, there hasn't been too much die-cast. It's mostly been the internal frame. So who knows, but I don't know.
Yeah.
But if they were to do fiction, the only way that I think that I could get behind it is if it was written by Nick Roche.
It'd have to be Nick Roche, and he'd have to be writing basically an adaptation of the stuff that comes packaged with the current alternative releases. So they have to have all their crazy superpowers.
Yeah.
I mean, that to me, that's the draw of alternative outside of the toys. Like, the toys are so good, and I'm like, you know, I kind of think the toys are cool, but maybe I should wait for a convention. Then I read the bio of what their weapons do on it. That's what I look forward to with every new alternative release, is like, what is the crazy nutcase god powers that Starscream will have? Like, I want to know. And it actually makes me look forward to their releases more, because it's so crazy.
But, I mean, just looking at some of the current writing at IDW, like, at this point, I think the person I trust most is Nick Roche.
Oh,
even though he's an artist, like I'd love to see an alternative miniseries written by him.
What's funny is he writes characters best when they're kind of grounded down, and it's like I'd love to see that attempted to be applied to Alternators or Alternity, trying to like take these, you know, these multifaceted God Transformers and go like, so what do they do in their off time? You know, how can we ground them down slightly? Make them more personable. Seth, how would you answer the question?
I don't really see it being feasible to have a retail release of Alternity outside of Japan, even if you take the metal out and replace it with the plastiques. Maybe something that would be more viable would be to sell them in Hasbro Toy Shop, Maddie Collector style, so they sell out and everyone gets super pissed and bummed out.
Hasbro's Facebook.
Get it. But yeah, like I think it would be great if they were somehow available on like Hasbro Toy Shop. But for media, it just seems like that fiction that is written for them, that is in, like you were saying, that comes packaged. It's so bananas, crazy, fanboy gone nuts kind of storytelling and concepts that I don't know how you would make anything out of that, like any kind of a comic or a cartoon or.
It's a very inherently Japanese fiction, I will readily admit. Wielding galaxies and cutting suns in half and stuff.
And shooting through, like, multiple dimensions and.
And shooting whatever. Math so you can shoot it with time later with better accuracy.
Yeah. So, yeah, I don't know. Just. And unless they were going to, like, scrap all that and then come up with their own, like, Western fiction for it, but then what's the point of that?
I would go so weeaboo if they did that. I'd just be sitting there going like, well, in the proper glorious
this isn't canon.
The proper glorious Nihon canon, Optimus Prime's guns in fact shoot through dimensions and shoot you before they shot. I'd be in the threads. I'd be that guy. And then I get banned from the threads pretty bad. And my own answer to this is that I think there's a better reason why Alternity couldn't come out over here, and that's because they're all licensed cars that were a licensing deal made over in Japan and not here. And I think that would interfere with any real motivation to try to set something up to put them out over here. I think that's basically the answer that was given in Q&As whenever Alternity comes up, is that Alternity is a deal between Takara Tomy and some car makers, and Hasbro doesn't have that deal. And if they had to get that deal, it would cost money. So that alone already impedes Alternity coming out over here. I also forgot to answer the last question, but I just agree with everyone, so there. And I also forgot to mention that on my Cybertronian animated Ratchet, I only just yesterday realized I could push his front of his hood in so it's flush with the windshield, which makes it a million times better looking. His hood isn't sticking out all the way. I just wanted to add those in there because we're now out of questions for the day. So we hope we answered your questions, coolest animations, and I apologize for my misunderstandings of your typewritten questions at times. Thank you, GogDog, for mediating the meanings to me.
Yeah.
Good man. And
I love you.
I love you, too. That is the show for this week. Thanks again to our special Super Unplugged guest, Dan. For coming by.
Thank you for having me. I'll be here anytime you want.
That's right, Dan, as we said at the beginning, he is OG.
Gangster.
Prototype.
Anyway, leave us iTunes reviews, leave us some comments in the threads, send in some questions. The queue is getting a bit smaller, still a little bit smaller. And tune in next week. Good times. You guys got anything you want to say?
Just leave us. Just leave.
Leave. All right, bye.
Bye then.
It means, but you got some badass perpetrators that are here to stay.